If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you remember and you've been with us, guys, remember last week we really took your ladies like to task, didn't we? We really spoke to the wise. Man, what? 6 verses. Wow. And you ladies did a great job because I wasn't ostracized this week at all from any of you. You guys love me still yet? And I heard, and I've been hearing from a lot of guys that, wow, man, my wife is really, I mean, wow. She's just a Sarah. I'm going to change her name to Sarah because she's been calling me Little Lord. Anyone done that in here? No, not at all. But it's just been encouraging what God says about our marriages. And here Peter speaks to the family, especially back in those days. Now let me preface this, okay, by telling you something. This was written many years ago. Do you know that? Amen? Yeah, it wasn't written yesterday, all right? And so when you look at this, and we speak about what's going on back in those days, you ladies, man, it was a normality to treat you harsh. It was a thing that oh well, you know, let's see, do I spend money for a dress maybe or some material for my wife, or do I buy a donkey? You see. Nowadays, not so much. Not so much. So we need to understand in the context of what we're speaking about. And guys, let me tell you something. Back in those days, you were harsh. The normality was that you were harsh. And guess what? Nowadays, man, that hasn't improved much. I just got to tell you. Now, physically, no. That's improved quite a bit. And you know, we esteem you wives. But one thing I've known even in my own life about our hearts. Where do you come? Where do you land? Where are your priorities when it comes to your wife? Here. And one of the things that I think that we treat our wives harshly is when it comes to the issue of communication. We just don't like to talk much. We are, I love that book, we are like waffles. You know, we've got our own little thing here. Don't bother me. I have my compartment. You know, there's a time for conversation. I don't know when that is. You know, maybe once a year on vacation. And so understand the time it was written in, yes, it was different socially. The society was different, the way we looked upon men and women and wives and husbands, but essentially it's the same because our word is the same today as it was yesterday because our word is God. It's God's word, the written word, the living word. Amen? Yes. Well, this morning I've entitled this message, Honor Her or Honor Your Wife. Whoops. It disappeared. Honor Her or Honor Your Wife. That's something that's very important. Now, ladies, before I carry on, and I really get into the guys this morning, and what the Word says, what Peter relates to us. And remember, Peter was married. He was married right up to the end. His wife went to the cross with Peter, was crucified upside down, both of them. So he knew about marriage. Let me say this and preface my message with this, that ladies, we are to honor you, and that's something that we're going to speak about. But please, ladies, let us honor you. Let us do that. Sometimes it's difficult when that whole honoring thing has some stumbling blocks. Well, this morning, truly, guys, we need to honor our wives. And we need to know our wives. And we need to look at them as joint heirs. And so this morning, If we could all stand together and let's read verse 7. Verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Father, we come before you and ask you, Lord, God, anoint this pulpit right now, God, that your words should go forth, not mine. And Lord, that you would simply bless your word to every single one of us. Let the shields go down, especially to us husbands. God, that your word might do the work of the power of the Holy Spirit. We might be more like you as we leave this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry. I messed up from the very beginning. I even forgot my own title. It's Know Your Wives, not Honor Your Wives. Of course, we're going to speak about honoring your wives as well. But Know Your Wives. Please notice with me, if you've been with us for the past 2 weeks, of his 7 verses dealing with marriage here, a.k.a. last week, Peter speaks and spends 6 of them addressing women. Fellas, I think there's a reason for that. Hear me out. Ladies, catch the reason. If you went to a pet store to buy a pet turkey, ladies, you would pick up a cage, food, water, bowl, and a booklet wherein, now, you would find lengthy instructions on how to care for your pet. Or husbands. Now, the turkey, a.k.a. husbands, on the other hand, wouldn't need a book telling them how to live with you. Because I have found out, and the world will even tell you, the smarter one always gets the instructions. No laughter? Bunch of turkeys? I think you see the analogy. Women are given a greater amount of instruction because their challenge to live with us men can be much more difficult. And so, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Peter makes it as simple as he can for us turkeys. Husbands. When he tells them they are to do only three things. Only three things, guys. Makes it very simple. I guess God knows us, doesn't he? Has to be simple with us. Three things. But, can we? My question this morning, my challenge to you is, can we do these three things? Sometimes us guys, we're so bullheaded. We're so stubborn like mules. Because all three goes against the nature of our grain. Right? The nature that we have. And also the world's view of husbands. It's unique to see a husband that deeply is enhanced by these three truths that Peter speaks about. It's unique. Even in Christendom. Well, let's begin there with the number one life lesson. It says again, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Let me tell you right off the bat, husbands, there's two words we need to look at there, and that's understanding and dwell. Number one, dwell means forever. It's like get your PhD and then some. It never ends. You think you know your wife, right? And by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself a bit here. We have to understand this word here, to understand or to know, actually, is where we get our word study. And so, what is Peter saying? He's saying we are to study our wives. To study our wives. And not only tells us to study our wives, but it also tells us, it gives a picture, of a long life endeavor. Like a professional student. You see, this school of study with your wife never, ever ends. It's continual. Why is that? I don't know about you. You see, I change a bit. We all change, don't we? From age to age, guys, we change a bit. But my wife is such a beautiful, beautiful woman of God that very complicated. She changes all the time. I'm studying all the time. Just about the time I think I got it down, nope. Change. New book. There's books and books and books I've studied, and there's books and books and books I have to study. Guys, not so much for us. You see, our women pretty much know us. They're very simple. We're simple people. You know what I mean. We got this, we got that. We're not complicated people. God made women a little complicated. And He desires for us to study them. I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying you're going to get an A every time either. All I'm saying is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, try. Because that's what Peter says to do. That's what our Lord tells us to do. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, He says, guys, you got to study your wife if you're going to have a godly marriage. That's it. You have to know them. You have to study them. And it's every day. It's all the time. Wow. I thought you said this was going to be simple, Pastor. It is. There's a reason why that we need to study them. Or the reason that there's something that we can, there's a helper that can help us study them constantly. They are complicated treasures, for sure. Notice with me, the word dwell there, again, it means it's never over. It's constant. Well, life lesson number one tells us, as a husband, I am to know my wife deeply and profoundly. Deeply and profoundly, in the way that she deserves to be known. How does this happen? I believe the answer can be seen in the way our bridegroom, our husband, Jesus Christ, relates to His bride. I mean, that's the only way I can do it. The only way I can do it, the only way I can study, and I've failed many times, but the only way I can continue to do that, guys, is to look at Jesus Christ. See what He does, how He does it. At the outset of His public ministry, Jesus called Philip to follow Him. You remember that if you've been with us in the Gospels. So impressed was Philip with Jesus that he told his friend Nathanael that he had found the Messiah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. So Nathanael did. Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit or guile, Jesus said of Nathanael when he saw him. How do you know me, Nathanael said. Before you came to me and met me, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Jesus said. Surely you must be the master, Nathanael replied. Stick around, Nathanael, Jesus said. For you will see angels descending and ascending from heaven. Now, let's stop there for just a second. Most commentators suggest that Nathanael, he was studying the Bible. Because you see, rabbinical literature indicates the studying of the Bible, the studying of the Old Testament, was often done under a fig tree. Of course, the national symbol of Israel. So it stands to reason Nathanael was studying God's Word when Jesus saw him. And so most commentators tell us, especially when they dig into the Greek and look into the it's not specific, but they're suggesting that it very well could be that Nathanael was studying God's Word underneath the fig tree. And as he was, Jesus knew just about what he was studying. The indication is that he was looking at that portion of Scripture when, you remember, Old Testament, when Jacob was in this particular place that he didn't think God was in, and he had a dream, and what happened? Led Zeppelin wrote that great song, Stairway to Heaven. Actually not. Jacob had a dream about angels descending and ascending on a ladder unto heaven. And of course, I can see our Lord speaking to Nathanael about that, indicating that, Nathanael, I am that ladder. I am that ladder. And so Jesus the bridegroom knew his bride. And there's many, many other stories. For instance, you remember when Peter blew it. And he was out fishing, went back to his old job. Not his calling. Fishers of men, but he was out fishing with John. Went back to his old job. He let Jesus down. That's a story and a message in itself. But you see, he saw Jesus. They jumped into the lake and swam to see Jesus. And of course, you know, they're talking and you know the rest of the story, don't you? Did Jesus say, oh, we need to talk about you denying me, Peter? No, not at all. And by the way, ladies, remember that story. Sometimes we can pick at the sore so much that it just gets worse. Jesus didn't do that to Peter. No, he went right to the crux of the matter and asked Peter and restored him to the ministry and asked Peter if he would feed his sheep. And he said, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, all three times he asked him. And every time he said, well, then feed my sheep. Well, then tend my sheep. And so, again, he knew Peter. He knew what Peter needed. Guys, do you know what your wife needs? Does she need a rebuking? No. No, she needs encouragement. She needs restoration. Some of you guys might say, I'm the one who needs restoration. It goes both ways, but especially it seems like sometimes we don't encourage our wives like we should. Know your wife. Encourage her. Know when she needs encouraging. Jesus did. Wow. That kind of gives me an insight. It should give us all insight. And so guys, what's the lesson here? What's the lesson we can bring out of those stories about Christ knowing His disciples? Knowing us? What's the best way that God can know us? What's the best way we can know God? If I'm not mistaken, it's what? Anyone? Reading His Word, praying, hanging out with us. But reading His Word, getting next to Him, listening to Him. The best way, yes, for us to have knowledge of our wives is to spend time with her in the Word. There's the key, guys. Oh, how am I going to know God? I mean, how am I going to know my wife? Man, I don't know. I can study here and I can study here, but I'm flunking the test. Well, you know how? Sit with her. If there was no women in the room, and it was all husbands, what I'd say is, guys, you want to make this easy? Just sit with her once a day in a devotion, a Bible study. Sit with her and worship with God's Word. You're done. You're done. And most of you go, that's it? That's all I got to do to study her? I'm so there. But do we? Honestly speaking, do we? As a pastor, sometimes I don't. Oh, I have my study. She has her study in her room. You know, in the next room, I use it in the kitchen. She's in the TV room. She's doing her devotion. I'm doing mine. But many times, we're not washing. I'm not washing her. And here's why. You see, well, we tend to want to preach instead of wash. Well, I hose them down with a fire washer. Instead, gently put suds on them and wash them. That's our deal. But God says we need to do this. The physical, the emotional, the spiritual yield of that is tremendous, guys. If only we as husbands would really understand that there is a plethora of assets in our marriage at our fingertips. That is big time affordable for us. If we just take 15, 20 minutes every day. We spend time, whether through a devotion or a Bible study, washing our wives with the Word of God. Now, Paul echoes this wisdom in Ephesians 5:25. And so let's read it together and turn there together. It should appear on the board. This is very interesting because I have really researched this part in the original language. It starts with husbands, verse 25, chapter 5:25 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. We know that. That's embedded into our brains. It's branded on our hearts. But check this out, guys. That he might sanctify or holy and cleanse her with a washing water by the word. It's just interesting to me that he is capitalized, meaning Jesus. You see, what Christ is saying here, what Paul is saying, is that we don't have to do the work. Christ does the work. We don't have to sit down and go, okay, let's do a Bible study, a devotion. Let me tell you about this devotion. And I'll tell you the Greek, and I'll tell you the Hebrew, and let me tell you this. It's pointing to you, and you better get with the program, and this is a five-step program. No, no, guys. It says that he will cleanse her and make her holy. For you. You want her to respond to you? Wash her with the word, but don't power wash her. Just set it up. Just go, hey, let's do a devotion. And just read a devotion. And then, look, take your male chauvinist and throw it in the toilet and say to her, what do you think about this? What's your idea on this? And let her talk. Women love to talk. Or haven't you noticed? You just like the fuse. And you sit there and you just go, okay, God, you do it. You do it all. It's your thing. I got the washing here. Now you do it. You just do the cleansing and the whole. And guess what? Your heart changes. It's beautiful here. We're just commanded just to set the table. He'll prepare the food. We're just to set the table. Be the instigators. Holy. And what's that mean? You know what that means? That holy means? If you were with us last week, it means Sarah. That's what that means. Sarah. If you were with us last week, it's six scriptures about the way wives need to be to their husbands. And Sarah was a wife that was called a holy, godly wife, called Abraham, little Lord. And by the way, the Bible makes sure that we all for eternity knows that she was drop-dead gorgeous. You remember, right? Exceedingly beautiful. That's what that means. It means if we just set the table and provide the setting of the table, provide the word there, and just provide the time and instigate it, then over time, our Christ, our Lord, not you, will change your wives to be Sarah's. Wow. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to do anything. Just make time. Now, how easy is that? I fell at it myself many times. But the times that I do take time, and she goes, hey, honey, listen to these devotions. I think they're pretty cool. I walk into the other room. I sit down and listen. I let her talk. Man. Sarah, next you know, Carla, my wife, starts calling me, Lord, where are you? Just kidding. You know better, right? But instead it's honey instead of Ben. You know the voice, right? And you know the look. God says he takes those looks away, takes that harshness away from our wives, man. where she looks at you seriously as a little Lord. But are we preparing the table? Are we setting the table? It's our job. And the yield, the treasures are out of this world. But they're wonderful in this world as well. Back to 1 Peter. So, as my dad would say, you remember the Fram commercial? Guys, you remember the Fram commercial where, you know, the oil filter? Pay me now or pay me later. You don't invest into your wife in this area of your life, especially in this area. You're going to be paying some lawyer or you're going to pay in some counselor a lot of money. Trust me. You need to put those dividends in now. Very small. Just make time. Make that time. I know it's difficult. That's probably your roughest. You'll be battling Satan himself. The phone, the kids, the door, the dogs, whatever. But make time, guys. It's a plus. It's a have to. And eventually, you watch, it'll be a get to. The second part, the second life lesson that we're going to look at this morning is this. Giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel. Now again, ladies, please, I will explain what I mean by weaker vessel. But please don't be taken back or feel like you're a second-rate citizen because Peter says weaker vessel. But we need to understand as wives that we are to be honored. Honored as a weaker vessel. What does that mean? Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? It does. It almost sounds like I was barely beat up. What? You were beat up. You know? I barely got into a car accident. You know? It's still happening, isn't it? And here it says that you are to be honored as a weaker vessel. Well, what does that exactly mean? Well, not only are we to have knowledge and study our wives, but we are also, life lesson number two, to honor them as a weaker vessel. What does that mean? Again, let's get real. Ladies, guys, the idea of her being a weaker vessel does not mean she is intellectually, morally, or spiritually inferior. Matter of fact, contrary to that belief, her biblical weakness stems from her innate desire to know God, to love God, her innate desire for spirituality. You girls know what I mean. Man, you really, really, man, as I said before, usually it's a wife, it's a woman that comes to the Lord first. It's a woman that comes to church first. And then, you know, eventually the guy follows. But you ladies have this innate thing. There's something inside you that God has given you to know Him. Intimately. You see, we know this is true because, again, the Garden of Eden. It was Eve, Satan seduced. Oh, not the party. But for this reason, and this reason only, but to be more spiritual. That's how she got seduced. Because she wanted to be more spiritual. Guys, this is essential that you get this. If you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. As a man of God, as a born-again Christian, it's essential you hear this. Eve was a weaker vessel in the sense that she was more vulnerable to Satan's suggestions that she eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and the good and the evil in order to be more like God. Read it for yourself in your downtime, found in Genesis 3:5. In order that she be more like God. Where was Eve? She was at the point in her life where she needed to know more of God. Where was Adam? Oh, he had walked through the night, cool night with God. He knew God, but he was not sharing God with Eve. Guys, you have a spiritual creature on your hands there. They love God. And if you don't step up, someone else will. God forbid if it's one of those TV preachers that takes every bit of money you got because they want a new Mercedes. Or God forbid if she gets in some kind of a cult somewhere, you know, some kind of mysticism or New Age thing because you have not stepped up like Adam didn't and teach her about God. And walk through this life of Christianity together. Because your woman wants. She's a spiritual creature. She wants to know more. She wants to be more like God. Well, wait a minute. I thought the reason Eve... Yeah. The world throws that down. And that's what the enemy wants us to believe is, oh, well, Eve, because... And you can throw in many, many, many reasons. The world, even churches, tell you, well, Eve did this because... And the truth of the matter is, the Bible, in the original text of Hebrew, Chaldean Hebrew, tells us that Eve wanted to be more like God. And so because of her husband wasn't doing the job, she went somewhere else. That's the crux of it. That's the bottom line. Adam wasn't doing his job. So now this helps us understand that our wives will innately have a desire for the Lord that we perhaps transcends even our desires. So, as a result, I can be blessed. You can be blessed by her relationship with him. But on the other hand, she will also be more vulnerable to some of Satan's subtle seductions. So don't you see, guys? We need each other. In this walk that we have with Christ. And that's why washing her is so important. And so guys, the Bible says if we don't honor her. We don't know her, we don't honor her. I don't want to live with you either. You don't know her, you don't honor her. Now, before we leave this life lesson, this thought, have you ever wondered, I just wanted to bring this up because I thought it was pretty cool, as I was looking into Genesis and reading that context, have you ever wondered why guys put so much emphasis, as a rule, not all, but put so much emphasis on work? Come on, you know the deal, right? Work. Yes, work. I was talking to an older fella yesterday I was thinking about this. I'd taken a break from study and went up and got some, life water, they call it. And, up at the store, and I was talking to this guy and he had just gotten off work. And, he's an older fella. And we were talking about work. And he's talking about how it's picked up and man, he loves it. And I go, you're working quite a bit? And he goes, yeah, 6 days a week, 14 hours a day. I love it. He's like, love it. He's like, 60. Love it. I'm like, are you married? Oh yeah, I'm married. What's your wife think of that, dude? You know, I'm just standing in line. I'm just got through reading this. I got a real specimen on my hands. You know? Oh, she'll have to get over it, man. I'm providing. I'm providing. Yeah. You know? And why do you think women, wives, go, honey, do you have to work so much? I know me, my own life, working here, it's like every 5 o'clock, honey, when are we going to eat together, honey? When she just wants me to sit down and eat with her. Of course, that's an Italian thing, too. And it's horrible when you're trying to lose weight. You know? But that's what you girls are. You're infatuated with us. You want to be with us. You want, you know, and that work thing is your enemy. But it's also necessary for put the food on the table, to bring on the bacon. Well, the reason why that is, I'm reading this thing, and it's because of the fall. It worsened the curse. Although the desire of the woman would be for the man, the Bible says, it would be the lot of the man to work hard for a living. That was a curse. But really, the curse here, that why husbands hear their wives saying, I just want to be with you and have more time with you and spend more time with you, please, honey. And the wives hear their husbands saying, I just want to provide for you, babe. It's that curse that affects every marriage to one degree or another. Well, how do you break the curse? Coming together in God's Word in Christ. That's it. Guys, you workaholics that love it, that your job is part of your esteem level. Do you know if you just implement this once a day, studying God's Word together, you can work at least 2 or 3 more hours a day. Hey, babe, a couple more hours, but man, when I get on God's Word, oh, I put the meatloaf on hold. I'm telling you, God's Word, it's a wonderful thing, but we need to wash our women. And so the third life lesson is very important as well. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The next life lesson I want to direct you to our video here that we'll have. You complete me, babe. I liked it. I don't know. It was short. The life lesson I'm getting at is that not only are we to have knowledge and study and honor our wives, but we need to be able that they are to be a completion of us and enrich us. It took a lot of time to get that together. Come on. In recent events, I wasn't even going to use that turkey. But we went ahead and did it anyway. Guys, does your wife know that they complete you? Or do they think that you're just an extra accessory? Did you know that Peter says that not only did you wives complete us, and we need to know that and signify that and relate that to you, but also that you enrich us. You help us. You enrich us. There's an enriching in us. You know, we might have some fool's gold, but with you, babe, it's gold. All the impurities come out. You complete us. You enrich us. Does your wives know that? Suppose it plays out like this. Suppose you inherit, guys, $10,000, but your wife inherited $10 million. Would you choose to have a joint checking account? Or would you say, no, that's okay. You have your account, I'll have my account, like many probably in this room do. Would you choose to be joint heirs? I think so. Absolutely. Well, guys, here's some gold for you. Did you know that you can enjoy the grace, the Bible says here, the grace of life, the grace, or in the original text, beauty of life, if you see your wife as being rich in the things of God, and then enriches you. You see, she's rich, man. She's got a lot of richness, jewels and precious stones. And are you going to tap into that? Are you going to have that enrich your life as you look to her as the beauty of your life? But we need not to be like the proverbial mule, stubborn mule, but like, well, SF guys, special forces. In Christ, we adapt and overcome. How do we do that? By the manual. By the Word of God. To listen to God. And if you do, you will surely, surely see your wife in the eyes of God, instead in the eyes of you. You'll see her in the eyes of God. Now, I talked to a SF guy about this a bit on the phone. And there's another analogy that they have. Let me see if I can get this right. He shared with me. It's shoot, move, and communicate. Which is probably pretty cool for the military. Shoot, move, and communicate. Now, in essence, this is what he said. He said, you work as a team. One shoots, one moves. Keeping the enemy down. Making a covering for you. And so then it reciprocates a bit. It's dynamic. Then the other one does the other. It is synergy, he said. I'd look at that and go, oh yeah, this fits so well, because then there's communication and you're keeping the enemy down and you're working together and you're shooting at the enemy and you're communicating and you're moving and you're doing the things of God. You're moving the kingdom forward together and you're moving your family together and you're keeping the enemy's head down, and that is synergy big time. That is when you're together. You know each other's moves. He said, when you work with another guy like that, you almost know what his next move is going to be. Pretty impressive. I see this in our lives as wives and husbands and men. Guys, this is what we need to be doing, because I guarantee the enemy's out there just as sure as the ones we fight. He's out there and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Exactly what they want to do in real life. And we need to be on the offensive. That's really beautiful. That whole analogy. So don't leave your wife, please. You see, when I look at this, and I think about this last night, yesterday, what if you don't spend time with her in the Word, you know what you're doing? You're leaving her uncovered for the enemy. Remember, weaker vessel. Remember, someone comes along and goes, hey, listen, I got this thing over here, man, and I really want to... Let me ask you something. Would you allow another man to come in to your house and sit down with your wife and give her a Bible study? Well, no way. You get a beat down. Not my wife. Do you? Don't leave her uncovered, because they're spiritual creatures, spiritual treasures. And the enemy knows that. He knew that in the garden. So don't be like Adam. She's your partner. Don't leave her uncovered. Now, some of you might say, oh, but I don't need my wife spiritually. Because you see, well, some of you male chauvinists, who I said the word. Because you might say, oh, I don't need her spiritually because, you see, I'm a mighty man of God. I used to kind of have that attitude. Mighty man of God. You know, would you agree with me? So was Moses. Anyone? Amen? Yeah. He was, well, thank you, George. You think that he was a mighty man of God. He was, wasn't he? Amen? Yeah. You remember God had called Moses to set his people free. Wow. Mighty man of God. But did you know the other side of the story? Do you know that as he was trying to set his people free, by the way, called by God, that was his job. Called by God. Man, he was going to go after it. And he did, didn't he? He went in there with Aaron. You know the story. Can you see Charleston Heston now, right? Let my people go. And man, he is getting with the program. And right in the middle of this great job he's doing, God grabs him, throws him to the ground, and the Bible says he's going to kill him. Right in the middle of this great exodus, God's going to kill Moses. I bet most of you don't know that story. It's kind of nestled in between everything. You know, going and exiting and everything, and the plagues. He's going to kill him. Wow. He's the man that God has picked for the big exodus. But yet he's going to kill him. What's he going to replace him with? Some secondary, second-rate guy? Maybe he was looking at Aaron. I don't know. But God was definitely going to do him in. He'd bend him down to the ground. But intuitively, here we go, guys. Listen to this. Intuitively, realizing what was happening, his wife Zipporah grabbed a sharp rock, and circumcised his poor little son. Why don't you start being the head of our family, for goodness sakes? The Lord then released Moses to go to become the leader of the biggest leader of the nation of Israel. See, you know that story, did you? I bet we all have stories, guys, men of God, that our wives have saved our bacon from God pretty much smacking us down or keeping us from the things that we has called us to. That's what I'm talking about, enriching us. They're our safety net. They complete us. Zipporah completed Moses for sure, enriched his life for sure, saved Moses' bacon. You see, Moses had a problem. What was that? Well, he was involved with his work too much, to the point where he forgot about his own son. He forgot about his family. He was called to the work. Man, this is a good message for preachers, teachers of God's Word, people that are in the ministry professionally. He forgot to circumcise according to the covenant of God. And let me tell you something. The covenant of God, it was a big deal. Still a big deal. Big deal to God. Big deal. How could he forget to circumcise his kid? It was a big deal. They're Jews, for goodness sakes. God spoke to Moses specifically. Orator. It wasn't I think I hear God. No. It was his real voice. It was God's voice to Moses with his covenant. And he blew it off. The poor knew this, of course. He took care of it. Others might have been in awe of Moses. Others might have been, impressed with Moses. Others had certainly been led by Moses. However, Zipporah knew that God would not continue to use Moses if he failed to tend to his own family and to his own son. Guys, that's what I'm talking about. Our wives enrich us and should complete us. Guys, personally, I have found so often it's my wife who says, others might think that you're Mr. Wonderful, but because I want to see you become what I know God has called you to be, because I want you to be the leader of a family, because I want our sons and daughters to do well, in Jesus' name, this is what needs to happen. Have you ever heard that? Honey, in Jesus' name, this needs to happen. And I don't think it's cut the grass. I think it's a spiritual work. Bam, shack-a-lack-a-lack. There it is. I don't like it either. I'm failing a bit. I'm going to tell you, I'm 60 years old. Been married almost 30 years. I still lack. This message is for me as much as it is for you guys. As much as it is for you young military guys, or you young guys, period, single guys, is much for me today. There's no condemnation in this, but there is a healthy conviction. So husbands, please know this. God put your wives in your life to complete and enrich you. So listen to her, honor her, know her. As many of you know, my wife, has a huge part to play in this ministry, in my life. She's a joint heir with me, big time. But the key, again, the key is that I will enjoy the grace, the beauty of life, to the degree that I know her, that I honor her, and that I listen to her. Did you hear what I said? That's the key. I will enjoy life, actually, if I don't honor her, and know her, and listen to her, there is no life to speak of. But I will enjoy life, the beauty of life, to the degree in which I know her, honor her, and listen. And look, there's times I'm like this, man, and you guys will be too. You'll be down here, and you'll just be, oh, wow, what's going on? Well, look to how you do those three things, how well you're doing them. Peter wraps this whole thing up for us, wisdom for us husbands, by declaring, husbands, more than success in ministry, more than professional accolades, more than material wealth, I've got to tell you now, wake up. God wants you to experience the joy of seeing your wife as a joint heir with Christ. He wants you to see your kids grow up serving Him wholeheartedly. However, to that end, as He did with Moses, He'll stop you if your priorities start to become a mess. And that's the last part of our scripture there, that our prayers won't even reach the ceilings. So fellas, if you or your wife have noticed a dryness in your walk or a brass ceiling that causes your prayers to bounce around back and forth, could it be? Could it just be, maybe, that something is wrong at home with you or with her? But we're the beginners. We're the ones that set the table. Remember? That's all you got to do. Now, you might need to call the paramedics. Because for some of us, if we got up in the morning and we open our Bibles and get our wives coffee and says, honey, come in, let's do a devotion, she might pass out. Might have to call the paramedics. Or she might get a gun and shoot you because you're not her husband. There's a strange person in the home. We need to start. Things aren't right in our families. Let's start like that. Let's start with the Word of God. And so burn this in your hearts, fellas. If our faith, I'll leave you with this, if our faith doesn't work at home, I have big time understood the principle. It doesn't work anywhere else. It just doesn't. Father, we thank you for this lesson. Some of it, Lord, as I said before, is convicting. Some of it is encouraging. None of it is condescending, Lord. Because we serve a great God that is full of grace, mercy every day. And so we as men, today, in the own confounds of our heart, we ask right now, God, let us be men of the Word. And God, let us and help us to know, honor, and be joint heirs. Enrich our wives. In Jesus' name, for your glory, amen.